Good morning, everyone. What a blessing it is to be here with all of you today as we worship the one and only true living God. I'm thankful for you, and I'm excited for what this new year has in store, for what God has in store for each one of us and for our church. And, I was thinking this week, and isn't it fascinating? It's fascinating to become immersed in a completely different culture. A culture that's unlike our own, right? I don't know, how many of you here like to travel? Anyone like to travel? Has anyone ever been to a different country? Okay, lots of you. I enjoy traveling to different countries, but I like to do it from the comfort of my own home. Let me explain. Not too long ago, I started watching videos of other people that travel to different countries. And what they do in these videos, like on YouTube, is they go and they visit all these places. They go to the best restaurants or the highest rated restaurants or the popular restaurants. And I get to see it all from my computer screen. And so after watching all these videos, highlighting the greatness of all of these different countries, all of these different cultures, oftentimes I think to myself, wow, wouldn't it be great to live in that country or to live in that place? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. But when I continue to think about that, well, after I'm done with the video, what happens? I click the X, I close that screen, I close that video, I go back to surfing the internet or whatever you want to call it. I look at the news. I see the headlines. All around the world, there's craziness, there's brokenness. You see, after closing that window, after viewing that video, you see, after seeing all of those different places, the different cultures, the greatness of all those different places and people, there's still one thing that I was reminded of. One thing that remains the same. And that thing is this. The truth is this. No matter where we are, no matter where you go, we will always discover that there is a huge problem. And that problem is sin. No matter how great a country is, no matter how great a person is, you will always discover sin. No matter where you go, you will always find people. And whenever you find people, wherever you find people, you will always see a need for Jesus Christ. You see, and those of us here who have studied the Bible for a period of time or who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we know full well the destructiveness of sin, don't we? You see, sin required Jesus to die on the cross, to sacrifice everything so that we could be forgiven, to pay the price for the debt that we owed because of sin. And I want to point you, in your outline, if you like to look at something physically, you can look at the outline in your bulletin. It's a short outline today. But I want us to look at God's Word. I want us to look here in John chapter 4. And we see how salvation, how the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ travels beyond borders, travels beyond the borders of Israel. And so I want to ask you, well, before we look at John chapter 4, I want you to kind of look before John chapter 4, to think back before John chapter 4 to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we catch a glimpse of a conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a religious leader, and we're going to talk about him more in a little bit. But see, Jesus showed Nicodemus his need for a Savior. And here, what we're going to study and focus on this morning, John chapter 4, we see how Jesus encounters yet another person, totally different from the previous person, Nicodemus, who he had a conversation with. But this person, this woman, this Samaritan woman was completely different than Nicodemus. And see, this morning I want us to contrast and to think about these two very different people from two very different cultures with one very common need. See, just as the great religious leader Nicodemus needed Jesus, so does this woman that we're going to read about here in John chapter 4, this Samaritan woman. And so I want to invite you to look at your outline or look up here on the screen. I'm going to read these verses out loud, and I would like to ask you to just follow along silently as I read them aloud. John chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. And I know it's 16 verses, but so important, so useful. I want to share this with you. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. If you have your Bible, please open it up. If you have the Bible app, please open it as we read. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And I apologize. I'm a little bit under the weather, so if my voice sounds strange to you, it's because I'm a little bit sick. So bear with me and please pray for me. But John chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 says this. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Pray with me, please. God, thank you so much for your word. I pray, God, that you would help us to understand it. Give us wisdom, give us insight, give us sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that as we look at these two different people back in those times, Nicodemus and this Samaritan woman, God, that we would see your truth, that we would be encouraged, that we would be spurred on, God, to live in obedience to your word and share the greatest news that we've ever been given, that we would share Jesus with a world that is so desperate and in need of him. God, thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, when we see this story, this account of this interaction that Jesus has with this Samaritan woman, there's a main point for this morning. And that main point is this, and it's right there in your outline. Everyone, everywhere needs Jesus. Easy to remember. Everyone, everywhere needs Jesus. You see, but as we read this account, most of you have heard this before. Yes, Jesus meets a woman at the well. She's a Samaritan woman, right? He asks her for a drink. What's so significant about that? Well, let me explain. But remember this throughout everything we talk about this morning. Everyone, everywhere needs Jesus. And I want you to think about what does that mean for you, dear brother, dear sister in Christ? What does that mean for you when you realize or are reminded of the fact that everyone, everywhere needs Jesus? Well, let's look at what's going on here. Jesus, he's been ministering publicly in and around Jerusalem, and he's decided it's time to go back to Galilee. He leaves Jerusalem, the center of Jewish worship, and he heads to Samaria. It's this foreign land. And when you look at these first six verses, you see it kind of gives us the setting for how the spread of the gospel happened to non-Jewish people. So Jesus, he's ministering, he's sharing the good news, and he leaves these crowds in Jerusalem, and he comes to the rescue of this woman. This woman who has such desperate need for a Savior. And so they're making this long trip, Jesus and the disciples, from Judea to Galilee. And in the heat of the day, right, noontime, it's hot, they're tired, they've been walking, they've been traveling for a long time. Jesus is thirsty, he wants to rest, he wants to get a drink. The disciples, meanwhile, they head back into town to get some food while Jesus is resting here by this well. Jesus isn't there long before a woman approaches, right? The Samaritan woman approaches the well to draw water, and Jesus turns to her. He asks her for a drink. And you look at verse 9, right? This isn't just, it seems kind of strange, right? It seems simple. Jesus asking this woman for a drink. To us, if someone asks us for a drink, it would just be a common question. But look at her response in verse 9. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? All right, friends, brothers, sisters, this verse 9 here, John chapter 4, verse 9, this one verse, this is the key to understanding this whole passage, okay? Look at the Samaritan woman's response. How is it that you, a Jew, asked for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Okay, think back to what I shared before, the placement of this verse, this passage, just after Jesus has this conversation with this honored and respected religious leader, Nicodemus, in chapter 3. This chapter, where it is right now, it's so important. So when you look at these two people, Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman, two individuals, you discover again, right, two opposite people, two opposite situations, but both people have something in common. Both people, Nicodemus and this woman, the Samaritan woman, desperately need Jesus. Right? Everyone, everywhere needs Jesus. The rich, the poor, the religious, the secular, Republicans, Democrats, independent, Asians, Americans, Africans, everyone needs Jesus. And so let's look at these differences between these two people. I want to point out three striking differences that we notice when we look at this passage. Number one, the first difference that they have is their gender. So crucial, so important, so significant. Because back then, during that time, the culture considered men more important than women. It was unusual for a man even to speak to a woman. So what happened when the disciples got back? If you were to look further to verse 27, when the disciples got back from their visit to town, from their shopping trip, it says they were amazed that he was talking with a woman. Well, what's so significant about talking to a woman? Well, it's because back then, culturally, it was not the right thing to do. Okay? It was unusual for a man even to speak to a woman. And not only that, but talking about religion, talking about having a religious conversation between two men, that would have been great. But it was totally inappropriate between a man and a woman. They had a difference in gender. Not only that, they also had a difference in their status. When you compare Nicodemus to this woman, Nicodemus was respected. He was a Pharisee, which means he had devoted his life to living in obedience to God's laws. You see, Pharisees back then, they were known for their morality and their concern for keeping every single command, no matter how big, no matter how small. And actually, that's often what got them in trouble because they became legalistic. They missed the very point of the law and the very person in which who gave the laws. And they would do crazy things. Such as this. You know, this might be an example of how legalistic the Pharisees were. You know, they before they would take a drink of water, they would maybe strain it to make sure that there would be no tiny little bug that might have fallen in their drink and died. Because if they drank a sip of that water that was contaminated by a dead thing, then they would be unclean. This woman, this Samaritan woman, did not share Nicodemus' commitment to keeping the rules. You see, if you look later in the conversation, further into the conversation that Jesus is having with this woman, he asks her about who? He asks her about her husband. Now, if you know anything about this Samaritan woman, her past isn't squeaky clean. Apparently, she had tried marriage and failed. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times. And now, she had maybe given up on marriage altogether and is living with her boyfriend. Now see, thinking about Nicodemus, to have a conversation with a highly respected religious leader would have been an honor. It would have been totally acceptable, but to have a conversation, Jesus, to have a conversation with this sinful Samaritan woman, that just isn't right. But that didn't stop Jesus, did it? That didn't stop Jesus. In fact, if you think about the history and the ministry of Jesus, what happened to him time after time after time as he continued to share the good news, as he continued to love people with his perfect love, he continued to be criticized and ridiculed. They were different in gender, Nicodemus and this woman. They were different in their status. They were different in their nationality. Nicodemus was a Jew. And this woman was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans did not get along. And I read this interesting fact the other day about Abraham Lincoln. After his assassination, well, this article stated that after his assassination, there is this manhunt, okay? This manhunt to find the killer. And we all know who the killer is, right, or was. John Wilkes Booth. Okay? But what was interesting about this piece of information in this article that I read was that there was this deep hatred. You know, of course, there's this tension and conflict within the United States at that time. And obviously, if there's a conflict, there's two sides. There's different sides. And so there were people that were in support and had the same views as John Wilkes Booth. And they shared an excerpt from his journal, Booth's journal, and it read this. I want to share it with you. Our country owed all her troubles to Lincoln. And God simply made me the instrument of his punishment. And yet for striking down a great tyrant than they ever knew, I am looked upon as a common cutthroat. That was a quote from Booth's journal. But see, here's something that stood out to me. There are many people that shared Booth's contempt, this hatred, this bitterness towards Abraham Lincoln. And some families, you know, they held an annual celebration on April 15th to commemorate the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and to honor John Wilkes Booth. Well, I share this with you again to highlight what's so crazy about Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman? You see, just as Booth had this contempt for Abraham Lincoln, it's the same type of hatred and bitterness and contempt that the Jews had for Samaritans. We get a taste of it here in verse 9. Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And if you have, how many of you have the NIV version? You use the NIV. Most of us do here. But there's a little footnote there for verse 9 that kind of provides another alternate and an interesting translation. But it says, Jews do not use dishes that Samaritans have used. You see, the surprising part of this interaction that Jesus has with this woman. It's not just that Jesus was talking with her, this woman who is a sinner, who is a Samaritan, but the surprising part was that he wanted to drink from the very vessel that she had taken to drink from. I have to share with you guys, where does this hatred come from? Where does this bitterness come from? And yes, we all know it's because of sin, but more specifically, more historically, what was this conflict between Jews and Samaritans? And it all started when there was a nation divided, Israel. Divided to two separate kingdoms, the north and the south, right? It was 722 BC when the Assyrians captured the northern kingdom of Israel. Okay? And what was the capital of the northern Israel at that time? Samaria. And you can read about this if you look back to the, in the book of Kings. We read about this decision by the Assyrians to deport many of the Israelites from the northern kingdom, particularly from Samaria. And so what happened after that? If a place gets taken over by a certain people, well, the Assyrians, they settled in this land. They settled in Samaria. And they married people there. They stayed there. They developed lives there. And the results of all of this was that there is a blend of nationalities. There is also a blend of worship. So if you think about this, the people of Israel kicked out of their land, taken over, and these foreigners come and take it over. And not only do they take everything, but they also introduce new things, new perspectives. They start worshiping idols, false gods. So there's the worship of God, there's the worship of idols, there's mixed marriages, there's corrupt religion. And so if you can imagine the Jews that were in the south, looking at what's going on in the north with these foreigners taking over, the Jews looked at Samaritans with total disgust. And that's where the conflict comes from. That's where the bitterness and the hatred comes from. It comes from the history. It comes from what was done in the past. And see, Jesus had every reason not to want to talk to this Samaritan woman. Not to want to interact or associate or be near this woman. But see, just like he did with Nicodemus, what does Jesus do? He starts a conversation with her. And not just small talk. He doesn't settle for the surface, right? Jesus cuts to the heart. Jesus speaks to the heart. Jesus speaks the truth. Jesus understands her heart. He understands her condition, even though she does not. Jesus reaches out to the moral Pharisee and also to the immoral Samaritan. Both of them, right, have this desperate need of salvation from their sin that can only come through Him. Brothers and sisters, never forget. Please, in this new year, remember, everyone, everywhere needs Jesus. And God is calling us, the church, to go and to share the good news, to go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching everyone, everywhere, to obey all that Jesus commands. You see, for those of you here who may be new to the Bible or new to God, I want you to know that the moral, being moral, can't save you. And not only that, but you are never too immoral to find salvation in Jesus. Yes, we know everyone everywhere needs Jesus. But what does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? I want to give you these 2 points here briefly. What does this mean for us? So what? How can we live this out? Well, first, I want us to understand that the need for Jesus is universal. If you want to fill in that blank in your outline, the answer is universal. The need for Jesus is universal. Just as the Israelites need Jesus, so do the Gentiles. Everyone, everywhere, right?
The gospel of Jesus Christ is a universal message. In that no matter who a person is, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you call home, everyone needs Jesus. And if you look at the book of John, you think about the Gospels, you think about the life and the ministry of Jesus, you know how it ends. You see, after Jesus dies on the cross and He rises from the dead, what does He do before He ascends to heaven? He says, I'm going to go, and when I go, I'm going to send you a helper. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to indwell you. And He commands them to do what? He commands them to go. Go and baptize. Go and teach people everywhere, everyone, everywhere to obey what I have commanded. And for 2,000 years, Christians have followed Jesus' example and taken this good news around the world. And guys, brothers, sisters, the mission has not changed. Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, we must be a church that takes the gospel to everyone, everywhere. Because everyone has a need for Jesus. You see, Phoenix, Arizona, it's a long way from that well, that water well in Samaria. Yet no matter where we are, we're still in that same place spiritually when we're apart from Jesus. We're in that same place that sinful woman at the well was when we, no matter where we are geographically, when we are apart from Jesus spiritually, we're in that same place, in need of a Savior. You see, when we continue to look at the Bible, when we continue to see how things go in the end, we know that eventually there's going to be a time where every knee, every tongue, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And you look, you see that in the book of Revelation chapter 5. But see, this reality of our need for Jesus, this should fuel our passion to share Christ, dear brothers, dear sisters. This should fuel our passion to make disciples of all nations. And so in light of knowing that there's this universal need for Jesus, dear church, I encourage you, I implore you, we must pray. Because the only way people are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ is if God changes their hearts. The only way people are going to decide to follow Jesus is if God does a miraculous work in their lives. We must pray for the lost. And not only that, we must be willing to sacrifice for the spread of the gospel. And I ask you, dear church, what are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice your time? Are you willing to sacrifice your energy? Are you willing to sacrifice your resources? Or let me put it this way, brothers and sisters, are you willing to give? But more importantly, are you willing to go? I'm not talking about necessarily going overseas. I'm talking about going across the room. I'm talking about going across your comfort zone. I'm talking about going beyond the surface and sharing Jesus Christ with people, sharing the gospel. The need for Jesus is universal. Not only is it universal, but it's personal. And I want to finish with this. The need for Jesus is personal. You see, what could Jesus have done? He could have done anything. Jesus could have blasted out this message so that everyone could hear it instantly. He could have created a YouTube channel when they didn't even have YouTube, so that people could just click on a button and see the good news and see Him. But He didn't. What did Jesus do? He physically went to that woman. He went out of His way to find this woman and to provide for her greatest need. Jesus came personally. You see, what did we just celebrate? December 25th, Christmas. You see, we celebrate the fact that God came to be with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. God with us, Emmanuel. You see that theme all throughout the Bible, how God in His perfect love wants to be with us, and He came to be with us, and He wants us to be with Him for the rest of forever. He came personally. And so, dear friends, If you're here today and Jesus Christ, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know this, that Jesus is after your heart. Jesus is after your worship. Jesus wants you to have joy and to have peace. He knows that apart from Him, that we are broken and hopeless, and He wants to make us whole. And so whether you're here, whether you think you're a religious person or you're an atheist, whether you're moral or immoral, an outcast or an insider, please know that you need Jesus personally as your Lord, as your Savior. Jesus, what did He do here in this passage that we just read, that we just studied? What did He do here? He used one conversation to change this woman's life. And dear church, I ask you this, in light of this, what we just studied, in light of this interaction, this conversation that Jesus had with this woman, who is it that you need to have a conversation with? Dear friends, who is it that you need to have a conversation with? Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you need to start by having a conversation with Jesus. Maybe you need to have that conversation and acknowledge that you trust Him, that you want Him to be your Lord, that you believe that He died on the cross and rose from the dead, and that you need Him. You want Him to be your Savior. And maybe there's others of you here, dear brothers, dear sisters in Christ. Maybe there's a specific person that God is leading you or pressing upon your heart that needs Jesus Christ, that God's calling you to have a conversation with. You see, what happened here with the Samaritan woman? What happened? She realized that she needed Jesus. She realized that she had this great need. She realized who was standing or sitting before her. That it was the Savior of the world. She realized that she had met the Savior, that she had been forgiven, and that she had eternal life through Him. That she would never have to thirst again. What was her response to all of that? What was her response to meeting Jesus? What was her response to the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ? She went into town and she started telling everybody everywhere. Dear friends, what conversation will you have today? What conversation will you have so that everyone everywhere will know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because you know what the truth is, the reality of today is that there are millions of people that are outside these doors. There are some that are here sitting next to you that are lost, that are searching for hope. Millions of people that are in need of a Savior. And Jesus is calling you to say something, to do something, to give something. So that everyone everywhere will know Him, know His love, and have the security of knowing that they're going to be with Him forever. And so will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You. God, You are amazing. Your Word is always true. God, thank You for Your faithfulness. God, and I thank You that in Your wisdom, in Your sovereignty, and in Your great love, You know and You knew our greatest need. You know the devastation of sin and how it separated us from You. And yet You made a way through Your Son, Jesus Christ, so that our sin could be forgiven. Our sin that separated us from You could be wiped clean. And that we could have the blessed assurance of knowing that we are going to be with You for the rest of forever. With our Creator, with our perfect Heavenly Father. And so God, I pray. I pray for my friends here that came this morning that may not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that You would press upon their hearts, that they would know that today can be the day where they can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that all of their sin is forgiven and that they can have hope and they can live each day knowing that they've been made whole again. They've been made new in Jesus Christ. Knowing that their future is secure. And that their present is secure as well, God, because of You. And God, I also pray for my brothers and sisters here, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe some of us, we've been so used to just sitting on the sidelines while other people pass away. Other people die without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray, God, that we would remember the truth that everyone everywhere needs Jesus, and that there are people that You are bringing into our life that need You, and that we are the ones You are calling to have a conversation with them, to share with them the good news of Your Son. And so, God, I pray that we would no longer be okay with people dying without knowing You, but we as a church, Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, this year, we would be spurred on to go out and to share the good news with everyone everywhere, that the world may know You and worship You, our King, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Thank You so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we sing, as we have this time of response. If you made some decision, if you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come up here and share that with me so that I can pray with you. Or if there's something else that I can pray with you about, please come as we sing.